Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning I'm going to have a message out of the Gospel of John. It's one of those that causes us to stop and think about what it means to be a disciple and what it means when Jesus invites us to come and see what he has to offer. And then Alan Vest has prepared for us a great song this morning, a very familiar old hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. So I think you're going to enjoy the message and the music this morning. And let us begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful time together, a time when we can hear your word, when we can think about what your word means to us personally. And Lord, we thank you for a time of worship, a time of reflection, a time of introspection, when we look into ourselves and what it means to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray now that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. And this is John the Baptist who is speaking here at first. So when it refers to John, even in the Gospel of John, it actually is referring to John the Baptist. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Lord. Well, as we are now entering into a new church year, it's the fall, and we're entering into this new church year. It is my prayer that we will feel a renewed desire for discipleship. And today, we see John's version of being called to follow Jesus. Here's what's so noteworthy about what happens with Jesus that day. As these two men follow Jesus at a distance, Jesus turns around and he confronts them. He says, "What do you want?" Now, if you look at the Greek word that is used there, it is the Greek word zeteo, which literally in the Greek means, "What are you seeking?" or "What are you looking for?" So Jesus is saying to these two men who are following him, "I see you following me. What are you hoping to find? What do you think I can do for you? What are you looking for?" Now imagine what it would have been like to have Jesus confront you with that question. In fact, let's not rush past Jesus' question too quickly. Instead, let me turn this question towards you this morning. Now, since we are gathered together to listen to the word proclaimed, it's fairly safe for me to assume that all of you are to some extent following after Jesus. Some of you are probably following Jesus closely, right behind him, or even walking side by side with him. Others of you are instead following at a safe distance, not wanting, for whatever reason, not wanting to get too close. You have heard that he can be trusted, but perhaps you'd like to see for yourselves. Either way, most of us are following Jesus. So what if Jesus stopped in his tracks this morning, turned around to face you, and ask you point blank, "What are you looking for? I see that you're following me. Well, what do you want? What are you after? What do you think I can do for you?" And what would you say? Well, really, how would you respond? Are you hoping Jesus will fix your life? Are you looking for security, belonging, peace, forgiveness, relief? Or are you just curious? What do you say to Jesus when he turns and asks you, "Why are you following me? What is it that you're looking for?" Well, what do the two men in the story say? They respond to Jesus with a question of their own. Jesus asks them, "What do you want?" And they ask him, "Teacher, where are you staying?" It's a question, but it also gives us some answers. For one, the fact that they call Jesus teacher, it's rabbi in Greek, but it means teacher. So they call Jesus teacher, and it tells us that they believe Jesus may have something to teach them. So at the very least, they are looking for answers. And furthermore, in asking Jesus where he is staying, I think they are hinting that they want to go to where he is staying. In other words, they don't want to just follow him from a distance. They actually want to spend some time with him. They don't want to just chat with him in passing. They are hoping really for a chance to spend quality time. and having heard so much about him, they're now hoping to see for themselves. They want to see his character, to hear what he has to say. They want to talk through their questions. And so when they ask Jesus where he's staying, I think they're hoping for an invitation. And Jesus doesn't let them down. He says simply, "Come and see. You want to know where I'm staying? Come along and see for yourself." Well, this is classic Jesus. Always with Jesus, it's come and see. Always with Jesus, the invitation is extended, a gracious and wide open invitation. What's more, the invitation always comes with a promise. We've heard numerous invitations and promises. There's seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask and you will receive. Come to me if you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. If you are thirsty, come to me and drink, and I will make living streams flow from your soul. Let the little children come to me, and I will welcome them. Come to the feast, and you will see that I have prepared a place for you at the table. Always with Jesus, it's come and see, which actually means that the biggest barrier keeping people from Christ and from the abundant and eternal life that he died to give us is very plain and simple. The biggest barrier is our own unwillingness to take Jesus up on his invitation to come and see. Here is the promise God makes to us over and over again. God promises us that if you seek after me, if you truly seek after me, you will find me. That's from Jeremiah 29:13, where God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." In James chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." In Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus famously says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Now, to be fair, Jesus doesn't ever promise us when or how or where. What he does promise is that if we earnestly seek after him with open hearts and minds, and with a willingness to receive whatever it is that we find, that we will, in his time and in his fashion and the place of his choosing, we will find him. I really believe that whether or not you are walking with Jesus closely or following him at a distance, either way, I believe he turns to you today and asks you, "What are you looking for? What do you want?" In asking, I believe his hope is that you will answer him the way that these two men answered him. "Jesus, where are you staying? I want to know because I want to go there with you. I want to spend time with you. I've heard you have what it is that I've been looking for all my life, and I'd like to see for myself." If that is the answer you give to Jesus when he asks you what you're looking for, then I believe Jesus will then say to you, "Come and see." Now, while we don't know exactly how the time was spent with these two men in our scripture passage, we do know that for at least one of them, it changed everything. Andrew was one of the two. And John's account here makes clear that Andrew's time with Jesus was transformational. So much so that the first chance he gets, Andrew races to tell his brother, Simon. Simon, he says, we have found the Messiah. Come and see, Simon, we have found the Christ. And don't miss it. A day earlier, Andrew called Jesus teacher. But now, having spent time with Jesus, Andrew knows better. Now Jesus is Messiah. Could Andrew have understood all that this title means? No, of course not. But nevertheless, God's promise was beginning to be worked out in his life. He had gone seeking with all his heart, and now he was finding. And already, it was changing everything for him. And we're told that when Simon came face to face with Jesus, it says that Jesus looked carefully at Simon. Here again, the word in the original Greek language suggests that Jesus gazed intently at Simon. In other words, Jesus wasn't simply studying his face. Jesus was studying his heart, and he was not studying Simon's heart to see what sort of man he was. No, I believe he was studying to see what sort of man Simon would become. And in a moment that changed Simon's life forever, Jesus said to him, I know people have known you as a fisherman, as John's son. People call you Simon, but from now on you will be known as Peter. And so from that day forward, Simon became Peter, a name which literally means rock. It's a name, frankly, that must have sounded strange to people who knew Simon back then, for a rock suggests stability and faithfulness, cool-headedness and self-discipline. But Simon Peter, as you know, was none of those things. He was impulsive. He was known for putting his foot in his mouth and acting without thinking. Was Jesus really that poor a judge of character? Legend has it that the great sculptor Michelangelo believed that when he sculpted, he was merely releasing the masterpiece which was trapped inside each shapeless piece of marble. Well, Jesus, looking with divine eyes, saw within Simon the God-given potential which was trapped inside this fisherman. He saw the courage trapped inside, the loyalty hiding behind the one who would deny knowing Jesus. Jesus saw the image of God tarnished by the stain of sin. And again, Jesus did not name Peter for what he was. Jesus named Peter for what, by the grace of God, he could become. Remarkably, Jesus does the same for each of us. If we seek after him, we will find him. And when we find Christ, we also find, to our surprise, ourselves. For in Christ we discover who God made us to be. You see, everything changes in life when we go seeking after Jesus. Among other things, we discover that Jesus has already come seeking after us. We discover that Jesus isn't some great distance away. He's not way up in heaven, beyond some chasm of time and space that we can never cross. He isn't the proverbial guru sitting on top of the mountain that we have to climb to reach. No, Jesus has come near, all the way from heaven to earth. The divine word has become flesh, full of grace and full of truth. He has come to extend this invitation to all who want to know where he is staying. Come and see, he says. Come and see. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, this morning, Alan Vest has prepared for us, O God, our help in ages past, a great old hymn written by Isaac Watts, today arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is O God, our help in ages past. As always, our thanks to Alan for preparing a great hymn for us this morning, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Well, friends, as we look ahead to the week that is before us, let's take some time to ponder what it would be like if we were following behind Jesus and he turned and faced us and said, what do you want? Basically, he would be saying, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? And regardless of what we might be thinking at that moment, Jesus' invitation is always the same. He says, come. Come and see. Come and see what I have to offer. And just like the two in our scripture passage this morning, we won't be disappointed. Thank you for being with us this morning. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. And thank you for listening.